So we will be using our Bibles quite a bit. Let's look at Leviticus 16th chapter. Look to the Lord for a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, Lord of our blessed Lord and Savior, above all, we thank you for the gift of eternal salvation that has been offered full and free to each of us. We thank you for the health that has been given to us. Some have had more problems than others, but we know from thy precious word that you will not have any more than that which we can handle. We pray now as we go into thy word that thou hast opened our spiritual hearts and minds, that we might see from thy word wonderful things from it, that we might grow thereby, that in turn we might be able to use each of us in our own way, in our own sphere, to reach out and warn others of that which awaits those that are Christ rejected. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. See, we'll read first 19 verses. And the Lord spoke unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord, or Jehovah, said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place wherein the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in a cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, the young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh. And he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids, or for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before Jehovah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, the one lot for Jehovah, the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Jehovah's lot fell, and offer it for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat goat shall be presented alive before Jehovah to make an atonement with it, and to let it go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals and of fire from off the altar before Jehovah, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put incense upon the fire before Jehovah, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. Upon the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill a goat of the slain offering that is for the people, and bring its blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their transgressions and their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out into the altar, unto the altar that is before Jehovah, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar and about round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now, we'll be going back and forth all through the scripture. We know that all things point to Christ. The Lord could say, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. And in John 5:39, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Now, before we go into a little study, we'd like to make mention of a few things. We find that even the house, the altar, the holy place, each of these places had to be cleansed. They say, why? You know, in the coming day, even heaven's going to be replaced. For what? The sin. What was the first sin? Even heaven. Satan was the first one. He was cast out to those that went along with him. I think approximately a third of the angels that followed him. And we find over here, let's read it again, verse 16, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remain among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And still the Lord loved them. And you see how particular he is even for the priests. You and I are priests. You don't have the problem that these men have. When he went in, it said in verse 17, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. So that when he went into the Holy of Holies, he literally had a rope tied to him. He had bells and pomegranates around the border, the blue border at the bottom of his robe. Should he die, how were they going to get the body out of him? And if he were in error in what he did, he would surely die. This wasn't something to be trifled with. And yet, you and I can go in and out of the presence of Almighty God at any time. We're actually in the Holy of Holies. He has raised us up together, made us sit together in Christ Jesus. And where is the Lord? Sitting at the right hand of the Father. So we have better access than all of the high priests that came down through the years, and the various priests. And some of them, just one time a year, they would set the incense. And that was a high day for them, because it might be just the one time in the whole year that they were given that privilege. And it mentions, you'd like to have sometime bring the tape that Jay Boyd had on that, and he mentions about them plunging his hands into it and the fullness of it and fine. And the thing is, when he came out, the aroma was still on him. Well, we being in the presence of God, the aroma should still be on us when we go out amongst the people. Few verses here. We find it in John 1, 1 John 1 and 7. We have what? We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of our sins, not some of them. And then John 1 and 29. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And all of these offerings, every one of them, point to one thing. They point to Calvary. In one aspect or another. The expression to denote sins. And the transgressions is going away from God. Let us look to Numbers 14. Numbers 14, verses 42 to 44. Go not up, for Jehovah is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from Jehovah. Therefore Jehovah will not be with you. But they presumed to go up into the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah and Moses departed not out of the camp. They went up regardless. You and I, in all of our decisions throughout the day, most of us don't do it. I don't know that anyone does it 100%. Just about everything that we should do, we should seek God's will on the matter. If nothing else, the first thing in the morning when we get up, we should in prayer ask that God's will be done in our lives. And that He will direct, He will guide us. And then Romans 5 and verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of Him that was to come. But all of us have sinned. Now, Adam brought sin upon the world, all of his posterity. And we looked at it as a great transgression there. And yet, there are men out here and women that have done far worse things personally than Adam did. And yet, because He was the one that started it, He's made the head of the sin issue, if you will. Then we find to trespass. Trespass means to blunder. It's a slipping away from God's requirement. Matthew 6. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 14 and 15. And if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, we think of this man and this boy that have been doing all this shooting. By the way, they believe the boy has done the most of it. And yet up in Maryland, they don't have the death penalty. A few years he could walk. We are to forgive them, but they have to pay for what they did here. Remember the two men on the cross with the Lord? The one didn't trust Christ as Savior, he stopped. They both did it one time. The one said, then the one essentially said to the other, "How can you stop? This man has done nothing in this." And we are what? We are receiving the just reward of what they've done. They paid for what they did. They were murderers, they were seditionists, and they were robbers. Only two things really that Rome executed for by the cross: murder and sedition. And they tried to get lowered, of course, with a mock trial on the sedition part. And then we find iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is self-will, Romans 6. Romans 6, 13th verse. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And we are alive from the dead. The moment we trusted Christ as Savior, we became alive. We were born again. We're part of the body of Christ. We're part of the household of faith. We're part, as it were, of the bride to Christ, to the church of Christ. We're one with Himself. He's the King of Kings. We're children of God. Then we should be princes and princesses. That be the case, we should act in such a manner as to bring glory to our Heavenly Father and our blessed Lord. And then ignorance. In Leviticus, the 4th chapter, Leviticus 4, and 13. If the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done against any of the commandments of the Lord or Jehovah concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring it before the tabernacle of the congregation. The elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before Jehovah, and the bullock shall be killed before Jehovah. But even for those sins of ignorance, a price had to be paid. When Christ died, he paid for all of it. And sin is a coming short. Now, most of us should know where that would be found. Romans 3. Romans 3 and 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They've missed the mark. The only place they're coming close that I know of, now there might be something else, is when they're playing horseshoes. Any other sport coming close doesn't win. Horseshoes, if you happen to be the one that's close, if you get it. In the spiritual realm, coming close doesn't win. If it were left to us, we couldn't make it. The best, some of the very best of us could do is come close. And yet, in God's eyes, that would be a great, great distance. Then there's the sins of omission. Let us look at James. Failure to do what should have been done. James 4, 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I know that there are many of God's people that won't vote, and they don't think they have a right to vote. And yet, the majority of them know which is the better of the two men, or women, whatever the case might be. And friend, if you don't vote, in that case, you are sent to whoever gets the position. One vote might be the difference in that person not getting it, or getting it, whatever the case might be. And this isn't a country where we have a king, or a dictator, or an emperor. This country is by the people, for the people, and of the people. Supposedly, we should have as small a federal government as possible, but we met no men like to build their own little empire. Talking with Harrier after Sunday school this morning, not when I was in the service, I had to do with a lot of civil servants. You make a little office for one little thing, and I'll guarantee you, before the year is up, they'll have two or three or more people working under that individual. And then he starts to build his own little empire. And at the end of the year, he has to justify why he has them. Of course, he needs them because he can't do the work. Well, how did he do the work to begin with? But that's the way our government, why our government has grown. And it isn't the elected officials in our government that we have to be afraid of. Right? It's the bureaucrats. And you and I have nothing to do or to say in their hiring or firing. The scope of atonement was made for Aaron, verse 6. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and his house. It was also for the holy place. 16th verse. He shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. It's also for the outer court. 18 and 19. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord or Jehovah, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about, and he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. It's also for the whole congregation. Verse 22 to 24. And the goat shall bear upon it all the iniquities unto the land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. Another thing, when he went in, the incense was right at the opening into the Holy of Holies. That went in ahead of him. If he were to go in ahead of the incense, he was a dead man. So he carried it in with his hands out in front of him as he went into the Holy of Holies. There was no mistakes there. You and I can make mistakes. We shouldn't be making them. But when we do, the Lord understands our weakness, our failures. He knew it then too. But all of these were a picture, a teaching for each of us. And then all the iniquities, transgressions, and sin. Verses 16 and 17. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and their sins, all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he doeth it, goeth in, to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out, and have made an atonement for himself and for his household, and for all the congregation. We'd like to look at John, 1 John 2 and 2. And he is the propitiation, the substitute, if you will, for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And yet it's to each of us as individuals. Mind you, it says when he took the sins upon, it didn't say sin, it said sin. And the sin covers all of sins. You and I have to do with sins. Christ did with sin. And when he did that, he dealt with it all. Let's see, another verse I'd like to look at. You guys do that. John 3, most of us should know that we should be able to quote him. We have the marvelous teachings. John 3, 16 through 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth or trusteth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And yet we've got certain groups out there that say, well, if you're going to be saved, you'll be saved. You don't have to go. That isn't what the Lord said. The Lord told them to go. Now the Lord knows who's going to be saved, but he doesn't make them be saved. It's two different things. is those that teach that the Lord's sovereignty covers everything. But if that's the case, then you have to blame the Lord for the murders and the rapes and all the rest of it. He allows some of these things, but he doesn't do it. And why does he allow it? Because of the sin of the world. And it's not because, when it comes to illness or that, it's not because one person is worse than another person. Some cases, they'll do something and bring it on themselves, no question. But there's other cases that have nothing to do with it. Look at Job. The Lord called him an upright man. And yet look what he went through. How many of us could have gone through something like that and taken the stand that he took? And his wife, many people think that the wife was being mean or bad, telling him to curse God and die. No, she wasn't. She was trying to get him out of his misery. She knew had he cursed God, the Lord would have taken him out of here. But he called her a foolish woman. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When all was said and done, Job had twice as much as he had to begin with. And when he stopped to think, he was the richest man in the East, possibly the richest man in the world at the time. He ended up with twice what he had. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, 25, 28. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the holy priest entered into the holy place every year with blood for others. Every year the Passover had to be kept. We find there are seven major feasts, and they all have to do with Christ. But the first one, the Passover, all starts with him. Year in and year out, it had to be done. In other words, each year as the priests went in there, they were all to be there. They were brought to mind all the things that they had done. It was covered. It wasn't washed away. But when Christ died for us, it's gone. God, in one place, says he put it behind his back. But if he put it behind his back, it doesn't matter which way he turns, it's still behind his back. Or as far as the east is from the west. You go north and south, well, you can come to the moon. You get to the north pole, you keep on going, you're going south. If the south pole, you keep going, you're going north. Doesn't matter which way you go, you're still going up to the other pole. You go west, you can go around, pass yourself as many times as you want. You start at home. You're still going west. East is the same thing. So God just put it that far away from him. You and I can't do that. We can forgive, but we don't necessarily forget. And there is an adage, you get burned once, and of course if you get burned the second time, it's our own fault. But that doesn't mean we don't forgive the person if he's done it. If we're foolish enough to fall for whatever he or she has done, that's our fault. Twofold aspect of Christ's work is seen in the goats. Only the high priest and all the killing was done by himself. Hebrews 1. The third verse. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He had by himself. We find God the Father wasn't in it. The Holy Spirit wasn't in it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's not the point. Someone was mentioning it this morning, I think in the morning meeting. The awful suffering and blackness. The awful physical suffering we can't grasp. We can to a point. But what took place in those last 3 hours, we will never pass. Not even nature would allow to see what was happening. Personally, I believe that that's where all of his bones were out of joint. Not so much when the cross was dropped into the socket. Now, some believe that that's when it happened. But if that were the case, all the rest of them that were crucified would have the same thing. I believe that the suffering was so terrible, the writhing on the cross, that all the bones came out of joint. You have to remember when the spear was thrust into his side, what did they see? Blood and water. The water would be linked. Under the most excruciating torture, the oil you only develop about a teaspoonful of lint around your heart. You'd never see that with all that blood. But there was so much that you could differentiate the one from the other. And you find even pagans, Roman soldiers saw this. They've never seen anything like it before. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I think most of us, and I'll quote that as well. The priest in spotless white, Hebrews 9 again. Of course, that spotless white is speaking to us of our blessed Lord. 9 and 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then in chapter 7, verse 26. For such an high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. For such a high priest was fitting. Now, you know that's hard to grasp. We're not worthy of that. But the moment we trust Christ as Savior, that's how God sees us. We're worthy of that. 1 Peter 1, 18, first two verses, most here to quote that next verse. I'm not too sure that there are many can quote it. For as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, or like silver and gold, from your vain manner of conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifested in these last times for you. Before the world's foundation, he was already foreordained that he was going to do it. I feel it was before the creation of anything. God knew exactly what was going to happen. Now, if you weren't all Christians, I would to be a little hesitant to mention this. God knew that man was going to sin. And many people would say, well, and why did God create this? That sin did what? It showed us the love of God. If we were made so that we couldn't sin, we would know that God loved us. But you have no idea the harmony of life. So that when sin did come in, and he gave his son for you and me, he'd get a little inkling of what it meant to God and what God's love was. For God so loved the world. I just wish I could say that Eli Lama Sabathini, Boyd Nicholson. I mean, the hairs on the back of your neck just stood up. Even when you've heard it the first time, next time you hear it, it's the same thing. And he was talking, I think all of you have heard, talking with a Jewish friend. I don't know whether he was a building contractor or just what he was. I don't even know if he was a Jew as far as his religion. He and Boyd were talking, and he mentioned this. And he said, boy, that isn't how it's said. And knowing that in a warehouse, things can echo. And when this Jewish man said it, he went all through that building, and he said he just felt the cold chill coming up his body. He said, the Jewish brother said, I believe possibly was said, this is how it was said. Give us a little picture. The Lord cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he wasn't speaking as God the Son. He was speaking as the last Adam. He was speaking as the perfect man. As God the Son, he knew. Did you know that he was the perfect man? He was the last Adam. He was there to do one thing, fulfill God's will. When he sweat as it were great drops of blood in the garden, it wasn't because of the death he was going to face. No matter how bad the physical, but the fact that he, the Holy One of God, very God himself, was not only going to look on sin, and if you read in the back of Habakkuk 1 and 13, it says he can't even look upon it. Yet he wasn't going to look on it. The sin of the world is going to be placed on his shoulders. It's like this morning we mentioned about the plate. The government placed on his shoulders. And the shepherd carries the sheep on it, lost sheep on his shoulders. The Lord carries you and I on his shoulders. But he took the sin of the world on his shoulders and died. This is one of the two things that he asked the cup to be removed at Passover. The other one is that his fellowship with the Father wouldn't be broken. All down through a past eternity and on into a coming eternity, their fellowship is one. And the Holy Spirit as well. One. But for those 3 hours, he is going to be separated from his Father. The Holy Spirit, the angels, the archangels, cherubim, the seraphim, they all came together. And his own disciples just followed him and bragged on what they would do. They all John Mark evidently stayed closer. You find that he was related to the high priest. That's how he got inside. And that's how Peter was allowed in. He went to someone of authority and they let Peter in to the outer court. But even he had left. He fled. The priestess is in spotless white. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and they made him to be sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made righteousness of God. That in itself is the imagination. Because none of us can say that we're sinners. We don't have to be saved. And yet God loved us to such an extent, and he paid such a price, that when he looks at us through his Son, he sees us as sinners. But that, you just can't grasp it. We have a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that was bestowed upon us. Very limited as to our ability both to take it in and to even speak on the matter. Something that only the Holy Spirit is able to bring to our hearts, to our thoughts, no matter how eloquent the speaker or how poor the speaker. What God is saying in His Word. Does it touch our hearts? Does it touch our souls? Is it nothing to you all you have passed by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, that which the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. The anger over the sin of mankind has upon his only Son. Father, we thank you for such love. We thank you for the care that we have day by day. We think of many of our loved ones that are laid aside with illness, some with injuries, some with illness, some facing death. And yet we know that the Holy Spirit is ever with us. The Lord himself could say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, for those that are called according to his purpose. And yet so many times in our trouble, we forget these thoughts. We pray that each of us here, not only in this place, but wherever God's people meet, that we might be more concerned as to the depth of God's sayings concerning each of us, to those we come in contact with. And we ask that thou would be with us, take us all to our several homes in safety. These things we ask in his name, for his sake. Amen.